Acts 14, verse 1 through 7, it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, in part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled into Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycia, unto the region that lieth round about, and there they preached the gospel. Same message, same results. Same message, same results. You may be seated. Our last lesson, we saw how Paul caused a church split between the Jews and the Gentiles. Some of the Gentiles wanted to know more about the God that Paul was preaching about. But the Jews were upset because people who had been coming to their synagogue and looking to them for direction were now focusing their attention upon the Apostle Paul and upon his message. And Paul did not concern himself about being rejected by the Jews. He focused on the Gentiles and those that wanted to hear his message. He shook the dust off of his feet concerning them, and he went on his way, determined to be obedient to the word of God and the voice of God and the call upon his life to spread the gospel, the good news. And so in this text, Paul and Barnabas leave Antioch and they arrive in Iconium. Iconium is about 90 miles east of Antioch. It's located in the Roman district of Galatia in what is known as Turkey today. And it said it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Gentiles, believed. There is something to be said here concerning their teamwork. The Bible says they both went together. Amen. We need to never forget that we need one another. Amen. I need you and you need me. Together we make up the body of Christ. And we're no man is an island unto himself. We all have a need of one another. Somebody said if you see a turtle sitting on a fence post, he didn't get there by himself. Somebody put him there. Amen. We need other people. And if we aren't willing to depend upon one another and work together for the cause of God, then the work of God will be hindered and will not be as productive and profitable as it will be when we all pull together. There's no place in the kingdom of God for big I's and little U's. Amen. And I talked about it last week. There should never be a competitive spirit in the church over positions in the church. Amen. God does what God decides to do. And God places people where God decides to place people. And if we're wise and understand that God is God and God knows what's best, he knows where we fit. And when we try, and I'm going to preach about it, I'm going to give it away right here. But I'm going to preach in the future. I don't have it prepared yet, but sometime within the next 10 years. Sometime within the next 2 months. You know, there's puzzle pieces that go in certain places. And when you try to force a puzzle piece in a place where it doesn't belong, you're going to tear up the puzzle. Hello? Do I need to go into any more depth right now than that? You understand what I'm saying. God fits the church together as he intends for it to be. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6 says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. So when we allow God to do the work, and we allow God to do the calling, whoever he chooses, and puts them in the capacity that he desires to use them in, then the kingdom of God will prosper and go forward in a much greater dynamic, fruitful way than it will if I'm trying to do your job and you're trying to do my job. Amen. Jealousy and envy and bitterness, those things are wrong. Those things are sin. Those things will send you to hell just as fast as adultery and murder will. Amen. Jealousy, envy, strife. There's been a lot of spiritual murders committed in the church by people professing to be Christians. Friendly fire, that's another message. Amen. Romans 12, 4 through 10 says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another." Everyone. Everybody say everyone. Every one of us are members one of another. "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us." So if you have a gift different than I have, and I have one different than you are, that doesn't mean I'm better than you. It doesn't mean that you're better than me or anybody is better than anybody else. God is the one who's called us, and God is the one who has gifted us according to His grace. Amen. "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministry, and or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another." The J.B. Phillips translation of that passage says, "Don't cherish exaggerated ideas of yourself." You ever seen anybody like that? If you bought them for what they was worth and sold them for what they thought they was worth, you'd be an instant millionaire. Don't cherish exaggerated ideas of yourself or your importance. Try to have a sane estimate of your capabilities by the light of the faith that God has given to you all. "For just as you have many members in one physical body, and those members differ in their function, so we, though many in number, compose one body in Christ, and we all members of one another. Through the grace of God, we have different gifts. If our gift is preaching, let us preach to the limit of our vision. If it is serving others, let us concentrate on service. If it is teaching, let us give all we have to our teaching. If our gift be the stimulating of the faith of others, let us set ourselves to it. Let the man who is called to give, give freely. Let the man in authority work with enthusiasm. Let the man who feels sympathy for his fellows in distress, help them cheerfully. Let us have no imitation Christian love. Let us have a genuine hatred for evil and a real devotion to good. Let us have real warm affection for one another. It's between brothers, and a willingness to let the other man have the credit." Somebody said a whole lot more would be done if we cared less about who received the credit. But we want the credit, don't we? It's just our nature. We want people to know when we picked up the piece of paper, when we painted the wall, when we unstopped the toilet. God knows. The one who needs to know, knows. And He's going to reward you a whole lot more than I can or anybody else can. We do what we do as unto the Lord. And when we do it as unto the Lord, He rewards us. If we're doing it as unto man, then the only reward we get is what men can do for us. And that's never going to be enough. Amen. We can't expect God to bless our efforts if we're jealous over God using somebody else. Let God be God. Let God choose to use who He chooses to use. Another translation of Romans 12 and 10 says, "Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle." Ooh. I grew up in the band for many years playing the trumpet. I never was a fiddle player, Bill. But second fiddle is the instrument that most people aren't willing to play. Did you get that? Second fiddle is the instrument that most people aren't willing to play. We want to be first fiddle. We want to be first chair. We want to be in the place of preeminence. We need to be where God put us, doing what God's called us to do. And you're going to be miserable out of the will of God. You're going to be miserable trying to do something that God didn't call you or gift you to do. One reason why this church is operating and functioning as well as it does is because we have a good team. We have good teamwork. Pastor Baden knows who he is and who he's not. Pastor Carla knows who she is and who she's not. Lorene knows who she is and who she's not. And as long as we know our role and we know our place, the kingdom functions the way God intends for it to function. But if he tomorrow shows up and says, Pastor, I'm going to be pastor for the next month, we're going to be in trouble. Not because he's going to be the pastor, but if I'm going to try to do his job, I can't do it like he can do it. And I can't do her job like she can do her job. And I can't do Lorene's job like she can do her job. And they can't do my job the way God has gifted me to do my job. But when we all understand our gifting and our calling and our place of service in the kingdom of God, then the body is fitly framed together and the will of God is done and the church prospers and grows according to God's will. Amen. Well, I've got a dream. You know the best way to get your dreams fulfilled is help fulfill somebody else's dreams. You help fulfill somebody else's dream, and in time, God will send somebody to help fulfill your dream. Isn't that what happened to Joseph? He interpreted the dream, and because he interpreted the dream, because he did what God called him to do, God elevated him to second in command in all of Egypt. I know some people, if they had the interpretation of the dream, they wouldn't share it. If it wouldn't benefit them. Hello. Folks, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about us. It's about him. It's about his kingdom. May his kingdom come. May his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. John 13, 34 and 35 says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And by this shall all men know you're my disciples. If you have love one to another, that is the distinguishing mark of true Christians, is their love for one another. And that's why millions of people don't go to church, aren't Christians today, is because they've seen the missing element of love in a lot of churches and in a lot of church people. They say, if that's the church, if that's God's people, if that's Christianity, I don't want no part of it. And I don't blame them. I don't either. But when they see love one toward another, the Bible says that's how the world is going to really know that you're my disciples. Not by the church that you go to, not by the car that you drive, or the house that you live in, or the way you dress. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, by your love one toward another. 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Everybody say the same thing. And that there be no division. Say no division. Among you. And be that ye be perfectly joined together. In the same mind. And in the same judgment. And does that sound like unity? Does that sound like togetherness? Does that sound like fussing and fighting and striving and bickering and backstabbing? No, he don't tell us never to do that. But he does tell us to speak the same thing. He does tell us don't allow there to be any divisions among you. He says be perfectly joined together with the same mind and the same judgment. Oh, folks, we studied it earlier in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2 and other places, when they were gathered together in one mind and in one accord, then the heavens were opened and the power of God was poured out. When they got together, When we can get together in unity, we can get together with a common cause and a common purpose with the same mind, the power of God will move. But the power and the Spirit of God is hindered when there's division. Amen. When there's strife, when there's bickering, when there's fussing, you're not going to see a great outpouring. You're not going to see a revival like the Bible talks about when those kind of things are going on. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, work at it. Philippians 1, 27, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whenever I come and see you, or else I be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. One spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith, not against each other, but together to do the will of God. So here we see Paul and Barnabas are striving together for the faith of the gospel. Came to pass in Iconium that they went together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. Paul and Barnabas go to the synagogue here just like they did at the last place. Why? Because they knew there was a crowd gathered there. They knew that there was people there that was interested in the things of God. And when they got there, they didn't find a seat somewhere out of the way and park and sit for 20 years. Folks, if we're going to be a part of Cottonwood Christian Fellowship, you need to be a part of Cottonwood Christian Fellowship. You get a whole lot more out of it when you put a whole lot more into it. Amen. God wants us to be participators and not spectators. And I know I'm preaching to the choir because you're participating. You're here tonight. I need to say that for Sunday, for the spectators. Excuse me. God had given them something to say, and the Bible says they began to say it. And the Bible says that God gave them an increase of both a multitude of the Jews and also of the Greeks believed. Folks, it's our job to speak. It's our job to get the message out. It's God's job to give the increase. Amen. We sow the seed. We water the seed. God gives the increase. It's our duty to be faithful. It's God who produces the results. Amen. The Bible says, except the Lord build the house, we labor in vain to build it. We're trusting in Him to build it. But in order for Him to build it, we have to give Him the right ingredients. We have to provide Him with the right material. We have to do things the right way. Amen. Verse 2, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. The word unbelieving here means disobedient. And I'm sad to say, but in just about every crowd of people, there's going to be some who are disobedient, some who are unbelieving, some who are rebellious. Those who don't want to believe or be persuaded concerning the truth. Amen. Thank God there's some hungry hearts, both in the Jews and the Gentiles, but there's also some unbelieving people here that are stirring up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. When there's people stirring up stuff, when there's people striving, when there's people criticizing, when there's people trying to bring division, you need to get as far away from those people as you can get. Amen. Romans 16 and 17 says, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. That sounds serious. He said, mark them. If they're causing division and offense contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, avoid them. It's not my words. That's the words of the Apostle Paul. That's the word of God. Amen. So some of the Jews tried to persuade the Gentiles that these two preachers didn't know what they were talking about. But as I've told you time and time again, and I'll continue to tell you, if the word says it, that settles it. If it's in the Bible, you'd be wise to believe it. Whether you believed it before or not, whether you've heard it before or not, whether you've understood it before or not, if it's in the Bible, it's the truth of God's Word. It's kind of strange that people that know things that we don't know are ignorant. I said it's kind of strange that people know things that we don't know are ignorant. I said it's kind of strange that people know things that we don't know are ignorant. Because we think we're smart. And we think we have understanding. And so somebody else comes along and they try to teach us something that we haven't learned before. Well, they're stupid. They're crazy. They're ignorant. No, it might be that they have revelation that you don't have. It might be they have an understanding to the Word of God that I need. That got quiet. It kind of got tight right there for some reason. If it's the truth of the Word of God, it's the truth of the Word of God. Amen. Verse 3, long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord. Here we see perseverance on the part of Paul and Barnabas. They didn't leave town just because there was some opposition. They didn't leave town just because somebody opposed them. The Bible says that they abode there a long time. And the Bible says they were speaking boldly about the Lord. They didn't run off. They didn't soften their stance. They didn't compromise their message. Amen. They stayed. They stood their ground. They continued to speak boldly the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord, not worrying about the feelings of the people. They kept speaking boldly the things concerning the word of the Lord. Folks, it's not about our feelings. It's about the truth of his word. And if the truth of his word hurts my feelings, well, then I just need to pray through. I need to pray about it so that my feelings don't get so hurt so easily. And I preached about that, hadn't I? Refusing to be offended. But some people just will not refuse to be offended. They refuse not to be offended. They just look for some reason to not come to church because somebody didn't shake their hand. Lord, help us. Folks, we have a time of greeting so we can all shake everybody's hand. But I didn't shake everybody's hand during the time of greeting. But I promise I didn't ignore one of you on purpose. I was just limited in how many hands I could shake in the amount of time that we had. And it's not a family reunion. It's just a greet. Well, I think we should have had 30 minutes. No, it's not time for that. If you want to spend 30 minutes after church Sunday eating enchiladas and fellowshipping, then that's a good time for that. But don't be offended just because somebody doesn't shake your hand or somebody doesn't acknowledge you. Oh, help us, Jesus. 2 Timothy 1, 7 through 8, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Amen. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. They declared the truth of God boldly. Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So as Paul and Barnabas gives testimony about the grace of God, God used them and signs and wonders were performed through their hands. Verse 4 says, but the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. Don't allow those who are opposed to you and the things of God get your victory. I said, don't allow those that are opposed to you and the things of God to get your victory. Amen. I used to think as a young man in my early 20s, pastoring my first church, Well, if I just prayed more, if I just fasted more, and if I just preached harder, and I just, you know, tried with a little more effort, I could get everybody on board. But after a little while, I realized I couldn't help some people. Because some people don't want help. And you can't help people that don't want help. And so I had to get to a point and a place and realize that it wasn't me. I did everything I knew to do to win them over. But they just refused to be won over. One gentleman in particular was one of the two that voted against me to begin with. And the whole 3 years and 10 months and 15 days that I was there, he was against me. And when it come time to leave, he said, "Pastor, I'm sorry, we got off on the wrong foot." Honest to God. That's what he said. Well, I've been here almost 4 years. Just because we got off on the wrong foot didn't mean we had to stay on the wrong foot. Just because you didn't believe in me and didn't vote for me to begin with doesn't mean that God hasn't used me since I've been here. And it would have been a whole lot better for me, and it would have been a whole lot better for you, sir, if you'd have changed legs. If you'd have got on the other foot. If you'd have got on board. If you'd have showed a little support. Instead of being blowed up like a toad every service. Me having to preach over you and around you and through you. Hello. I'm just telling you the truth. Is that all right? It's all I know how to do. Folks, whether you realize it or not, I can see you. I can see you. I can see whether you're awake or whether you're asleep. I can see whether you shout amen or whether you shout oh me. I can see whether you're listening attentive or if you're playing on your phone. And all of those things could affect me if I'm not careful, if I'm not focused, if I'm not zeroed in on what God wants me to do and what God wants me to say. What I'm saying is we can help things be better if we will. If we'll just be aware and we'll be conscious. Well, all that was free. What I said was, don't allow those who are opposed to you and the things of God to get your victory. You know what? Everybody's not going to like you. That's hard to believe, I know. And I've even read books about it. How to Win Friends and Influence People. I've read it more than once. I'm still not real good at it. I've got a book on how to increase the likability factor. I've read, I've studied, I've tried to improve. But in all of my thousands of dollars worth of books and time studying and learning, there's still people that don't like me. And I could go home tonight grieved. I could go home tonight pouting. I could go home sucking my thumb. I could go home belly aching to Melinda, "Baby, they don't like me." They're not going to like you. Everybody's not going to like you. Just go ahead and come to that realization, to that understanding. Get that settled. And make sure that the problem is with them and not with you. If you've done something to cause them to feel bad about you, then you need to repent. You need to make your wrongs right. But like I said, there's some things, some people, you can do everything you know possibly to do and then some, and they're still not going to like you. You just got to be okay with that and do what God's called you to do. Luke 6:26 says, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you." Oh, I just want everybody to like me. Whoa. Be careful when all men speak well of you. For so did their fathers to the false prophets. If everybody likes you, that means you're not being true to God. If everybody likes you, that means that those that are living contrary to the truth of God's word that you're living in obedience to, When you're living right, people that are living wrong are condemned. They're convicted. And so they'll find fault and they'll criticize and they'll try to tear you down to make themselves look better. But folks, can I remind you again, anytime you sling mud, you lose ground. You don't make yourself look better by making somebody else look worse. We're not supposed to be, I've talked about this too. We're supposed to be a part of the building committee, not the wrecking crew. Well, some people, they just take pride in being a part of the wrecking crew. That's nothing to be proud of. The fact that you can tear stuff up. I can tear stuff up. I'm not a real good builder. I'm not a real good carpenter. A man's got to know his limitations. I wish I was like Eddie, but I'm not. But I've got enough sense to know that. So I'm not going to waste a bunch of money buying a bunch of equipment and tearing up some good wood just because I want to be like Eddie. I'm not like Eddie. I can't be like Eddie. I know that. I've got enough sense to know that. So I'm going to let Eddie be Eddie, and I'm going to be me. How'd I get off on all that? That ain't in here nowhere. When you're living for God, when you're doing what God's called you to do, those people that are not interested in God and the truth of God's word, they're going to be opposed to you. And just understand that. But don't let that cause you to give in. Don't let that cause you to wither underneath the peer pressure. Be bold. Take a stand for truth. Take a stand for righteousness. Take a stand for God. Amen. Live the life that God wants you to live, regardless of who they are or what they say or what they think. And let me interject here. Everybody that calls themselves a Christian is not. I'm sorry, they're not. I wish they were, but they're not. People just want to fit in. They just want to belong. They just want to go with the flow. God hadn't called us to fit in. He called us to stand out. That's one reason why the world's in the shape that it's in. It's because the church has tried to fit in with the world. God called us out to be a separate people, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Amen. If they don't know you're a Christian, then you need to look in the mirror and see if you really are one. Well, I need to read that book again, don't I? Luke 12, 51 through 53, suppose you that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, two against three. The father shall be divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Well, can't we just all get along? Well, we all can if we're all on the same page and all believing the same thing. We can if you're wanting to bring the devil in my house. Hello? I'm sorry, this is the words of Jesus. There's a line to be drawn. There's a stance to be taken. Light and darkness do not have fellowship. Ephesians 4 and 5 says there's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism. Everybody say one. That verse brings a lot of division to a lot of people that profess to be Christians. It don't matter. The Bible says there's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism. There's not 10, there's not 50, there's not 1,000. There's one. There's one way. Jesus said, I'm he. Except you believe that, he said it, you'll die in your sins. So Paul and Barnabas caused division with their message, and the crowd turned against them. Verse 4, the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. Verse 5, and when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them. Amen. Persecution, folks, is not something that we should be surprised about. Like I said, everybody's not going to like you. If you're going to be a Christian and you're going to be a true Christian, then there's people that's going to oppose you. You're not going to fit in with every clique at work. If you do, there's something wrong. If they can cuss and tell dirty jokes and act all kinds of foolish with you there and them not be ashamed of that, then you might want to check to make sure you're still what you're supposed to be. Because they should feel uncomfortable doing those things in the presence of a man of God and a child of God. Amen. Well, you know, I don't want to say anything. I don't want to speak up. You know, I just laugh and go along with it. Why? Because you're fearful. Because you're afraid. Because you're not bold. Because you're not courageous. Because you're afraid of being ostracized. You're afraid of being excluded. You're afraid of being persecuted. Folks, persecution is part of being a Christian. And there's no way around that. If you're a true Christian, you're going to be persecuted. Matthew 5, 10 through 12, Jesus said, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You're not the first one that's ever been persecuted. Oh, we get on our little pity party. Oh, I'm the only one. That's what Elijah said. I'm the only one living for you, God. Everybody else is false prophets. Everybody else, they just believe in lies. Lord, I'm the only one. I just can't stand it. God said, suck it up. Grow up. I got 7,000 more besides you. You're not the only one. But we like to think that we got it worse than anybody else. Ain't nobody had it as bad as I have, Lord. God, you ought to be real proud of me. John 15:20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. John 16, 1 through 4, these things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. Hello. Ding, ding. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you because they've not known the Father nor me, but these things have I told you that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. He said, you're going to be persecuted. And a lot of the persecution is even going to come from within the church. And people are going to persecute you for taking a stand for truth and righteousness, and they're going to think they're doing the will of God. I'm just doing what God wants me to do. No, you're not. I'm just defending the faith. No, you're not. You're defending yourself. I need to read that book again, don't I? How to win friends and influence people. How to be more likable. I promise I'll look through the highlights between now and Sunday. That's one reason why I highlight all my books. My wife said, why don't you just highlight the whole book? Well, I do highlight a bunch of it so that I can go through it and freshen up on it. And stuff that stands out, I put a mark by it, and then I put in the back where I put the page number, I put the mark by it, and so I can go back and look through all the highlighted stuff, or if I just want to look at the real good stuff, I can look at the page. Well, anyway, there's a method to the madness. Philippians 1:29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. 2 Timothy 3, 11 and 12, persecution, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall. Is that what it said? Not that maybe. No, if you're living godly in Christ Jesus, you shall suffer persecution. People are going to persecute you. Friends at work, family at home, people in the store, wherever, people in the church, you're going to be persecuted. 1 John 3:15, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Well, I just don't understand. Marvel not? Don't be shocked at that. They hated him. They killed him. And he was perfect. So if they killed the only sinless man that ever lived, they're going to be able to find some fault with us. So Paul and Barnabas, they're under attack. They're bold. They continue to proclaim the word of God. But sometimes it comes time to move on. Sometimes it does. Verse 6 and 7, they were of it and fled. They were aware of the opposition against them. They were going to be stoned. They fled to Lystra and to Derbe and the cities of Laconia and to the region that lieth round about, and there they preached the gospel. So just because some opposed them, the message they preached didn't cause them to get discouraged. It didn't cause them to say, well, we're going to forget it. We gave it our best shot. We'll just go back home and go fishing. Or just make tents or do something else. No, they shook the dust off just like they did last time. They preached the same message again. They got the same results again. They moved on to another city, to another group of people where they continued to preach the gospel. Amen. One last scripture as you stand. Mark 16, 15 through 17. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. Everybody's not going to want to hear what it is that we have to say, but some will. There will be some that will be in opposition. There will be some that will ridicule. There will be some that will persecute. But there will be some fertile soil. There will be some that as we cast out the seed, it will find a place of lodging on the inside of here. And it'll reach down in here and germinate and produce a bountiful harvest. Amen. There's people here tonight that I know of that's been here less time than I've been here. That a couple years ago, you were in direct opposition to God and the things of God. But somebody sowed some seed. Somebody preached a message. Somebody invited you to the house of God. Somebody did what God called them to do. And as a result, you're here tonight loving God and living for God. So be encouraged tonight when you leave here and you go back to work tomorrow. Understand you're going on a mission field. Your job is a mission field. You don't have to go to Africa to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. We can do it right here in Alamogordo. On your job, in Walmart, in the restaurant, in Lowe's, every place you go, there's hungry people that need to hear the message. I want to do my part, don't you? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise.